Welcome everybody to the PHFHL podcast. I am, as always, your host, Matt. With me today, my man, Ty. Just the two of us today, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have any guests. We're coming at you just as a pair. We've got some good news to talk about, some interesting stuff on the horizon. And hey, you may be one of the lucky people that that sees us for the first time. This is our first video podcast for all of our audio listeners. That means nothing to you. Nothing's going to change. Don't worry. We love you. We treasure you. We're not going to run away. But yeah, you're going to see some clips of this, if anything is remotely worth it, on our Twitter feed coming up. And we're probably going to make the move to this as a more regular setup in the future. Obviously, I'm going to have to get a better man cave to match the energy Ty is bringing, but I'm trying to make it up with my jersey. That's a bit of a rant. First and foremost, Ty, my man, great to see you. How are you feeling today?
Doing well. I'm excited. It's been a little bit. Glad to talk some hockey. Don't worry, your man cave's coming. You know, it'll get there, right?
Yeah.
I'm still working on mine, so let's keep going.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of different backgrounds. I'm hoping to stay away from the virtual backgrounds. I don't need anything glitching out or anything weird happening there. So yeah. It's either this or the plant wall right now. Tune in for later episodes to see what I'm talking about there. What a weekend we've had in fantasy. Just as a quick aside, big moves being made. We're week four. People are flipping rosters. People are getting crazy and tanking. Do you think this is the most active we've ever had our fantasy league this early on? Like, people are treating wins like a playoff push already.
Yeah, I don't know if it's – and that's a good point, because I'm one of those people that are flipping a lot of my fan favorites and players that I've had on my teams for like multiple years that seem to always end up on my team. But yeah, our league has usually been pretty active. I would say right now, yeah, it's probably top three most active years we've had. But it's fun. It makes it entertaining. Nobody's like getting personal with players. And like, other than like, I kind of got swindled this week thinking I was going to get a healthy Barkov and he ended up getting hurt. So it's all good, but I'm loving this NHL season. I'm loving like teams playing other divisions other than just their own. And it's been great. And I think that's like making the change in fantasy too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering if it's just the excitement. I think that I'm sure things will die down. I know there's a couple of guys in the league that don't have a pick earlier in the fifth round already. There's a couple of us that don't have any picks after the first round already. So I think that will really slow things, some of these big trades, big swing weekends down a little bit anyways. I don't know. We'll see. It's fun. And yeah, the NHL has been, it's been fun. I think that like Dave mentioned, I think on our last show, that things would balance out. I think we're starting to see a little bit of that. Some of the early exciting teams firing out, like Buffalo and San Jose, are maybe coming back down to earth a little bit. Some of those slow starters have really kind of knocked off the rust. Nope.
That was great.
Hey, we are, after all, an amateur podcast. Yeah. Once we start making the big bucks, we'll have our producers edit all that stuff out. It'll be fine. Now I'm still trying to figure out how to edit and put in things, so you're gonna deal with it. We're gonna have a nice little bloop. So another upcoming exciting news bit that we would like to share, and we want everybody to keep an eye on this. We are consulting some of the top names in branding and marketing out there. We're fielding offers from all of the largest agencies. We are looking at changing our name in the future, not our personal names. I'm pretty happy with Matt and Ty. You look like a Ty, it suits you. But the name of the podcast, PHFHL, will not be the name at some point this season. We're looking at making a change there, guys. So
what a bummer, because that rolls right off the tongue, hey?
Yeah, I really shouldn't have gotten that tattoo. Act of regret, but hey, I'm sure we can cover it up with whatever we come up with next. If you guys have any ideas out there that you think suit us, please share it. You can hit us up at headpucks on Twitter. That's probably the best place to get us right now, or any of you that know us, please share it personally. I'm sure that that is most of you so far. So please let us know if you think you've got a great name for us. We're happy to give you a shout out, but we won't pay you for it at all. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. We'll be excited to announce that in the future. We'll announce it before we do it so that my mom can still find my podcast when it happens. All right, let's get right into the news, Ty. I don't think there's any bigger news this week than Jack Eichel. Your man, formerly your man, now my man, Jack Eichel. Hashtag fantasy trades. So let's just take it back. First and foremost, how happy are you that this is settled and resolved and we don't have to wake up every morning checking for that?
Well, I'll tell you, as a Flames fan who supposedly was involved in these rumors, I am over the moon. I didn't care if he was coming to Calgary. I didn't care if he was going to Vegas, Anaheim, any of those teams. I'm happy it's over. I think it was just taking up too much time. I don't think a player like that should be sitting and not getting a surgery and just wasting a full year of his career away. I think it's better for the sport this is over, and it's better for the hockey world because this wasn't bringing anybody into Buffalo. It wasn't helping anybody else, right? There was lots of, I think there's a lot of hurt feelings. I think, and it's a big decision and end up Vegas, the richer gets rich, you know, and that's how it is.
Yeah. I think that I'm super happy for Jack first and foremost. This has to be a huge relief for him. For a young man like that to have, he has his career, whole career ahead of him. He's got such a career ahead of him still. But the limbo that he's been in for so long has probably no doubt been very stressful, very difficult. So this has got to be wonderful for him. So happy for him. If we can segue into the trade itself, I got to figure Vegas has to be over the moon because some of the trades that were being discussed early on. So like for example, Buffalo's original ask that they put out in the media, and then what the rumored Flames offer was to see that it's, Krebs, I get that people are excited about Krebs, Alex Tuch, a conditional first, because the first is top 10 protected.
Yeah.
And a third, and they get a third back.
Yeah, so I think they get a second, and then Buffalo gets the third.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's what it is. So, Vegas gets the third, and how does that go?
Buffalo, we probably should prepare for that.
Buffalo gets the third, and Vegas gets the second. That's what it was. It was a really weird, swap. I did a little bit more into Peyton Krebs. First of all, can we just talk, and I'm going to swear once in this whole thing, that son of Kevin Weeks rattled a whole fan base, with a stupid leveraging tweet that wasn't true. And that guy is trying to be an analyst. Like Buffalo said it wasn't true. Daryl Sutter said it wasn't true. Brad Treliving said it wasn't true. Matthew Tkachuk said that was BS. That was complete crap to get Vegas. I don't know what other piece they were trying to leverage Vegas into getting. The deal was already done. Like Elliot said and Frank Cervelli said, and the more research I did as a Flames fan is Calgary really wasn't that into it as they say they were. Were they in it on the offseason? Yes. Rumor, Pierre LeBrun said, I think it was in The Athletic, that Matthew Tkachuk, Sean Monahan, or Johnny Gaudreau, plus a pick and a prospect was available in the summer. Okay, that makes sense, right? Because then Tkachuk can get his surgery and he can play the whole year. Why would Calgary trade Matthew Tkachuk when they're off to their hottest start since like the 70s for a player that's going to sit out for anywhere 3 to 5 months? And everybody ate it up. I ate it up. I was so excited. I was like, holy cow, a top center. Here we go, baby. First time in my life that I've seen. Like I've watched Conroy. I've watched Monahan, you know, Stage. And there hasn't been that real top echelon center in Calgary. So yeah, we were all eating it up. But now he only went for Krebs and Tuck. So the reality is, I don't know what Kevin Weeks was doing, but I think he lost a lot of I don't know. I think his audience just doesn't trust him though. There's a lot of, I was really disappointed with that and how it all came out, especially when every other analyst said, no, Calgary's not really in it. They're in it and asking, but they're not really in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's for a guy that's kind of trying to push his brand, that would seem to be a pretty weird misstep there. I think I saw that and I thought, how can they not snap call? Like, yeah, that's to me, if you've got injured Jack Eichel, a broken relationship, and somebody's offering you an exceptionally talented hockey player with his whole career ahead of him, plus, you know, all the, oh my God, like what else could they be considering if that's one that they're humming and hawing over?
Yeah.
But I think that I feel like I can only assume that fatigue really played a factor in this, because I have a hard time believing that this was the best offer that came across Buffalo's table ever. I mean, maybe they really like Krebs. Maybe there's something else about it that, you know, they have the right to choose the players that they want. But from an objective standpoint, I have a hard time believing that was hands down the best offer that they got in the last year or so. But regardless.
Reality is if you have a scout base and a management brass that likes a certain player, and no disrespect to Peyton Krebs, I've like researched his numbers last year. I follow guys that live off the WHL, right? And they just watch those players. He was the best player in the WHL last year. Like, was it kind of a weird season? Yes. But hands down was the best player. He came and made the Vegas roster, this team that's stacked. Did he do well? No. But if the management brass wants a player, it doesn't matter what any other team offers. That's the guy they're going for. You know what I mean? In the end of the day, that's who they wanted. All summer, you heard it. Vegas won't include Krebs. Well, they got Krebs, and that's what they wanted. And you know what? The other part of it is Kevin Adams said, hey, we want players that want to be in Buffalo. We want players that want to stay in Buffalo. And Alex Tuch, have you watched any of his press conferences or tweets or anything? This guy wants to be in Buffalo. He's from the area. This is great for him. And I'm happy for Buffalo. I'm happy for the fans. It's still going to be a long road. I think they have a solid coach there now. And Kevin Adams stuck to his guns and he got the guy he wanted. I agree with you? Yeah, there was probably way more on the table.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. I did see that Eichel said pretty quick afterwards that he had told them, at least early on, maybe not so much later on when things got really messy, that that he was happy to stay in Buffalo, that he didn't want out of Buffalo, but he didn't want, but there was, he had to get, he wanted the surgery, he wanted. And it wasn't that he was trying to escape. So I thought that was at the very least classy enough that he wasn't burying them on the way out.
Yeah.
You know, because for him to say, look, guys, the reason that I left Buffalo wasn't because I hated it there. It's because we disagreed on surgery for this. You know, like, I think that it doesn't save Buffalo. I think that if you already didn't want to go, that doesn't pull you out of that. But I think that especially for a lot of younger players, that probably helped at least a little bit remove some of the stink that they've really splashed on themselves this last year.
Well, and you think about it, Jack Eichel to Buffalo, like, they sucked that year they got him, right? They were going for McDavid and they ended up with Jack Eichel. That's a hell of a consolation prize, just saying. Like, he's Jack Eichel's top five center in this league when healthy. Like, he is a beast, right? Yeah. So you get this American-born player, you still get him. He's going to be the savior on your team. You trade for Ryan O'Reilly that weekend. I think they traded for Robin Leonard as well. So your team is starting to look good and nothing came into fruition, right? Like, everything just seems stale. Nothing, like, they had that one really good year with Jeff Skinner where they still missed the playoffs. O'Reilly's been shipped out. I really think Jack Eichel, A, didn't want to go through another rebuild. Why would you? You know, like, hey, I'm ready to win. And the way you guys are making this organization go, doesn't seem like you are also on the same page as me. So they tried Taylor Hall last year, didn't work out. So, yeah, Kevin Adams needed to move on. But like you said too, and like I said, I think they probably could have got more. It seems like an underwhelming trade.
Yeah.
No matter what. Like I don't imagine, like, so you've now traded Ryan O'Reilly and you've traded Jack Eichel, who we both would agree they're top centers. One's better two-way and the other one's way better offensively. And your two biggest pieces are Tage Thompson and Peyton Krebs.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems awful to me. But whatever.
Yeah. Oh, man. moving on to other news that we've all been just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Chicago fired their coach. They have moved on. Jeremy Colleton let go. Derek King is in. They actually fired, I think, a couple of other, I'm trying to pull it up here, a couple of the rest of the coaching staff, actually, right? Yeah. Like, they just cleaned house. I mean, we've been, all we've heard outside of the other awful Blackhawks news, this has been the 1B somehow, is that the coach is out of here. It's only a matter of time. I don't know. I guess it's the least of their problems right now.
Yeah.
I'm definitely feeling unhappy with my prediction that they would pull off the playoff run this year. but yeah, I mean, I don't think the option's not there, but if it was, this would be a great time for the team to just be like, tell you what, guys, we're actually just going to forfeit this season. We're going to take some time to ourselves, reevaluate things. Best of luck to everybody else. We'll talk to you next spring.
Yeah, and that's tough because, you know, you go out, you pay a huge price for Seth Jones, right? You steal Marc-Andre Fleury, who was the best goalie last year. Yep. You still have Kane, Taves, DeBrincat, who is highly underrated, and that player can game. Like, he is a game breaker. Still don't know how he got drafted in the second round, but whatever. It just feels like Jeremy was going to fail as a coach. You know what I mean? Like, anytime you take over for a Hall of Fame scumbag coach like Joel Quenneville is, sorry, just saying, the guy's lost a lot of fans. I think he's a great coach. I don't think he's a great person right now. But you take over for him, man, those are some huge shoes to fill, especially when all of a sudden your expectations were like, hey, it looks like Chicago is going into a rebuild. And then all of a sudden two acquisitions, and it's like, holy shit, we're going to go for a cup. You know what I mean? Like, I think it was unfair. But I do agree. I don't think the team was buying into a system. I don't think the team was performing well. And hey, it happened. I don't know who they're going to go. I know everybody's like, I tweeted the boys we talked to quite a bit on Twitter, who he thinks, and they think Torts. And I just don't know if Torts fits that, like, that mold. Like, we had him in Chicago. Could you imagine Seth Jones then now getting back Torts? Like, he, like, I'm free of it.
I can't speak for Seth Jones, but I got to assume that would be like a nightmare.
Yeah, I don't think that's the guy that they should be going for, but who knows? I don't know. It was bound to happen after that start. I bet you Fleury wishes that he's retiring. Although his mask that he just got made is probably First Nations artist.
Beautiful.
It is gorgeous, like, beautiful. So that, I was all pumped to see that this morning. But other than that, the product on the ice has not been good.
No, I think that I've also, like, said to people, I don't remember, if I think one of our group chats, I said that Torts makes a ton of sense in a lot of ways, I think, in Chicago right now. I don't think he fixes everything. I don't think it's a perfect fit. Who is it? Oh yeah, I don't think he makes any sense in Florida, because I don't think him and Quinville are the same type of coach. And so to bring him in right now for a Florida team that seems like a fast and loose and let them play kind of environment, Torts is not the right coach for that. Not if you're trying to keep winning. But I think that if you brought him into Chicago right now, I think he'd have the best chance, at least of among coaches that, you know, we know and we can name off and have a track record. But he's somebody that I could see coming in and basically, like, just setting a tone for the team and being like, we're going to work hard. They got tons of talent. They've got guys that understand how to sacrifice on the ice. I don't know about the rest of the life that they can make those proper sacrifices of proper decision-making skills, but they can sacrifice on the ice to get wins. And yeah, I mean, jokes aside, at the very least, Seth Jones is familiar with his coaching style, familiar with that. So he could be like, hey guys, I would fuck around. Like, yeah, I'll bleep that out. I would mess around, you know? Yeah. But like, I don't think there's, but fair is fair. I don't think anybody's coming in here and writing this ship. I can't imagine that unless Tortorella changed his style, that him and Fleury would gel all that well. They just don't seem like they view the game the same way. And so
what about Babcock?
Because I don't think Babcock's really any further off. Like, I think he probably falls in line more with the Torts. Yeah. And I know it's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
But Babcock is still not off the hook.
No, I get he's not off the hook. I get that. But I'm going to say, what if owners go to Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Marc-Andre Fleury, and all these guys that, hey, we want to win right now. And Toews had him in Team Canada. Fleury's had him for Team Canada. Could win. And I'm not saying Torts is great or Bab is great. I don't think either of those guys are great to bring into the team. But I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to let their top assistant go coach, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks while they're in midseason. So your options are pretty slim unless you're just going to go this interim way anyways, right?
Yeah. Now I got to figure they're probably, honestly, I think the owners have enough on their hands. They'll probably just let the interim Derek King just take over and just be like,
please do.
It'd be kind of thing of like, I don't want to hear about this or the team and their performance or you for the rest of the year. If any of it gets to me, like you're out, I'm trying to deal with this stuff over here. You know, I think it'll be that basically that kind of situation. Like they don't really care. They don't have time and energy to invest into whether or not the hockey team is good because they're too busy trying to say they support Kyle Beach while also destroy him at the same time, which is really difficult to do in the public eye. It's really difficult to say, I'm so sorry for what you went through and it's not right. Don't mind my lawyers over there trying to destroy you.
Yeah.
But we'll save some of that for later. we're gonna talk about that later on in the link. But yeah, I realistically, I don't think they're going to do anything, coach, that they haven't already done.
Yeah.
I would assume that they're going to be sellers at the trade deadline. And I think this is it. I think this was going to be Chicago's last big hurrah. I got to tell you, there's some poetic justice to this.
Yeah.
This season that you know, maybe it was framed as their last big hurrah. And it was like, oh no, you still have to reconcile with what you did to have that first big hurrah a decade ago. So there's full poetic justice, which might be the only justice we get with all this, but I digress.
Yeah. So the poetic justice makes sense, other than these next two draft classes are insanely deep, right? Like, so they could suck and then still end up with top prospects and rebuild really quickly. And then we would all hate our lives because Chicago Blackhawks are still, you know, really good. I can't wait. Like, we'll get into the Kyle Beach stuff. Like you said, I sent a tweet out that was similar to what that is. How can you support somebody for destroying their life? And then now again, you're trying to like destroy their life again. Right. So you give them the credit that something bad happened, but now you're going to try to, Chicago's a mess. You hear about their logo, which is that, you know, you have this, and it's just that the list keeps going on and on and on and on. So,
Not a
great situation. I'd rather be Arizona than Chicago right now. That's what I'll just say. I'd rather be the Arizona Coyotes, and their situation's not great either. They just got kicked out of their stadium for owing money, and they suck. But I would way rather be the Arizona Coyotes than the Chicago Blackhawks right now.
Well, that brings us on to the next important piece of news is the Coyotes won a game.
Holy crap.
The Arizona Coyotes have erased the O and now they have a one. They took down the Seattle Kraken Saturday night. I read the headline wrong at first, because I thought, oh no, the Kraken have definitely won a game by now, right? I was like, oh, the Coyotes, they're the ones that have to get up. The Kraken aren't exactly the juggernauts of the NHL, but a W is a W. It looks the same in the column, so good on them. I don't think that this is going to start anything for the Coyotes. I think it just takes off the pressure a smidge. Yeah. Everything is still the same there.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm going to make a t-shirt that says Free Keller, because I feel bad for that guy. That's a top of the – and Chychrun. Free them both, please, for the love of – like, these are good players playing on – free anybody that's got talent, because Louis Erickson on the first line makes no sense to me. I'm sorry. Like, a team is not good, but I'm going to read you this. This is quite funny. And this is from Adam Kimmelman. The 2017-18 Coyotes start 0-10-1, claim Scott Wedgwood on waivers, and Wedgwood's first game, he gets the Coyotes their first win. Now, fast forward to this year, Coyotes start the season 0-10-1, claim goalie Scott Wedgwood on waivers, and in Wedgwood's first game, he gets the Coyotes' first win. Like, what? Maybe keep Scott. I don't know. I thought.
Maybe like after the last game, they're like, bad news, we're 0-10-1, and someone just screams, get me Scott Wedgwood.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look who's on waivers, Scott Wedgwood. This is our savior. I don't know. Arizona's in a weird situation. That team's going to get Shane Wright, not even unless they win, like lose the lottery. But they're going to be good. I think this is like Arizona's never really fully committed to the rebuild. And I think now they are fully committed. Like Buffalo Sabres committed, like when they were going for McDavid, rebuild.
I would disagree with you slightly there, because I think Arizona is committed to the rebuild. I just don't think they ever understood what the next step is. So they're just perpetually rebuilding. And anytime they get remotely good, they're like, oh, that's not how you rebuild. Better send that talent somewhere else so we can get a better draft pick. I don't think they know how to take that next step.
Yeah. But don't you think their GM is – I think this is their best GM they've had.
Who is I can't think
of – St. Louis. What's his name? Armstrong. Bill Armstrong?
No.
Yeah. Billy Armstrong is the GM of the Coyotes. And did you see what he did this offseason? Yeah, Bill Armstrong.
I saw that he took on – Vancouver's finest, and
it's only for a year, and he got Dylan Gunther.
Yeah,
like that is wicked. Dylan Gunther's he was in some mocks was projected third overall. That's a hell of a swing.
But he let go of hotshot Connor Garland.
I do love Connor Garland. I will.
He gave up on the notorious OEL,
who's been, believe it or not, one of the top defensive defensemen this year. Offensive, defensive. So
doesn't like the heat.
Does. Hey man. Vancouver's a beautiful city.
Big rain guy. Loves the rain.
Big rain guy. I don't know. I think what they're doing is good. I have trust in Bill. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. I think that
please
I think,
free Keller and, yeah. And Chychrun. All of them. Free them all.
I think that we see this in a lot of sports, and I think that it often even comes down to, even in some of the very successful teams, is it really does, like, ownership matters. You know, we often don't think about it like that, but it really does, and because it does start at the top, and you don't have to have an owner that's in the office every day working with you, but then on the other side of that, you do need that owner to be kind of hands off. Mm-hmm. And so I think that what most sports franchises have is kind of the bad mix of either the owner's hands off but doesn't give you the support that you need, or the owner's too hands on and doesn't know what they're doing and is a moron and makes the team perpetually make the worst decision based on their gut because they made some money either in some other form of their life, and they assume that they can always make the right decision instead of leaving the hockey decisions to the hockey experts. I think that here's the two perfect examples of teams that are their ownership has been showing the world that they don't really have it all together, that they're not really dialed in, or in some cases maybe good human beings. So it's, yeah. I think that kind of filters down through the organization, because they make those decisions on who gets hired, who gets fired, and who succeeds and who doesn't. And so I think that's what you see. You see an organization like Arizona, who's never been able to put it together, who their biggest battle isn't on the ice, it's getting ice. You know, like that shouldn't be that big of an issue. You look at a lot of teams, the Blues situation is good now, but for a number of years, they had a really crappy ownership situation that they were, when they were going through a sale for a while there, and it bled through the organization. You know, players were getting turned over, no one wanted to be there, they couldn't get anything together on the ice, and a lot of their drafting wasn't that solid, didn't work out.
That Arizona is like that situation. If you were to be like, hey, we're gonna put a team in Arizona, you would think it would work. You know what I mean? Like the logistics, the land, the tax, like everything, you think it would work. So yeah. You're right. Ownership has not been good in Arizona. It really hasn't. We had this conversation with Dave in one of our first pods where it was like, okay, yeah, move your team to Houston. Ownership doesn't change, right?
Yeah.
Same team. Oh, yeah. Different city. It's not the city that's hurting you. You know what I mean? It's not Arizona. It's not Scottsdale. It's not any of those. Glendale. It's not Phoenix. It's the owners. Those are the ones that are hurting you, right? So you're right. But I do want to ask you this one question. Going about that, we were talking about owners, and now we have seen Vegas does not care about any player anywhere, like it doesn't matter if you're really good, really bad, he will trade you to get you what he wants.
Yep.
Do you think that's going to start to affect like attracting players? Like Paul Stastny, right, signed with Vegas, instantly gets traded when something better came across, like along, right? Yeah. Or do the players understand that it's a business and you get to live for Vegas for however long he wants you to be there? I respect the GM making those decisions and going and get those players, but man, it's got to affect them somehow.
Yeah, I've no doubt that it's tough, especially you look at Stassi's situation. But I think it depends on how they're kind of wooed, you know, like when you're brought into that organization, like what do they tell you? Do they tell you that, hey, we love you, we see the future for you? Yeah. Or do they sit them down and they say, hey, we're really excited to have you here. Never forget that we are all here to win. Yeah. And I remember I had a boss a couple of years ago, real nice guy, but like a young CEO of a startup type. And he used to say, like, we want to run this company like a sports team. You know, we want the best players here. And maybe you're great, but you might not be the best fit for us. So if we choose to move on from you, or if we choose to not, like, you know, give, not hire you, it's not because you're not great. It's because you're not the best fit for us. You know, and it just made me laugh a lot because he, it was clear that he wasn't a sports guy, but so he would often butcher the analogy, but I like it. I think it actually applies to Vegas here, because I think that I'm assuming that because we haven't heard a lot of horror stories come out, that they probably run it a little bit like that, where they say, we're happy to have you here. We think you're great. Mm-hmm. We think you do a lot of things really well. But if we think that there's something out there or someone out there that will help us more, just understand that there's no ego here. It's all about winning.
Yeah.
And as long as you're the best option and you're focused on that as well, then we're going to get along. We're great. And, you know, if you're starting to fall off, or if you're not producing, you're still a wonderful human being, still want to get coffee later.
Yeah.
But we're going to replace you. You're not in the lineup. If they run it like that, then I think that for the most part, they'll probably be fine. You're still always going to get some people that are either hurt by it or will, you know, misinterpret things. But yeah, George McPhee is an assassin.
Yeah, he's a killer.
Stone cold, cold-blooded. But I mean, that's what you would want, right? Like if you're on a team and you feel safe, or if you're a fan of a team, you want your GM to do whatever they can. And I just thought, he runs the Vegas Knights like a fantasy team.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's just, he just seems to have moved away from a lot of the traditional ideas about how you manage a team, and these, like, he's just like, no, there's a great player out there. Okay, well, I would like that great player. They would make my team better. How would they fit in? I'm going to do what I can to fit it in. I'm not going to worry about the draft 2 years from now. I need to win this year. If I win this year, no one cares about the draft 2 years from now. And if I don't win this year, then we'll work in the offseason to get some of those draft picks back.
Yeah, him and Kelly McCrimmon, they are amazing. Like, they go get, like, George McPhee's made his own mistakes, right? Like, let's remember the Philip Forsberg trade that, you know, has looked, it's one of the best trades for Nash, but it's one of the best trades for any team that's ever, like, made a trade. He got Philip Forsberg for basically nothing. But there's, so there is, like, a little bit of caution when you're willing to give Nick Suzuki for Max Pacioretty. You know, that's another deal. He does run it like a fantasy team. He's not afraid to give good players up,
mm-hmm.
or for just better players. Like, yep. He'll move out good players for better players, right? Like, the one thing I didn't like was how they handled the Fleury situation, but that here and there, right?
Yeah.
He is an assassin. He gets what he wants. He's won every big free agent signing he's gone for. He's won all the big trades. That team has gone from a brand spanking new team that wasn't supposed to do anything, a bunch of misfits, right, to a solid contender. And Robin Leonard is stealing them games right now with a depleted roster. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, oh, we have Fleury. Let's still go trade for Robin Leonard, right? Oh, now we have this great goalie. We can move this one without really, you know, mattering. But, yeah, that's a – Vegas is, you know, that fan base should never complain, because they get it. Whatever they want, they get.
Yeah. Yeah. They're that kid in class, that rich kid in class,
yeah,
who got every toy at Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, where, like, you're like, I got this. They're like, oh, I got that too, along with the whole play set. You're like,
yeah. Couldn't you just give Calgary Jack Eichel? Come on, Vegas, please. Like, for the love of everything. We don't have anything good, but no,
you've got nothing good.
Nothing good, only Kachuk and Johnny. No, it's all good. We're one top teams.
Well, you've got Markstrom.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the fact that Markstrom has 4 shutouts this season.
The Swedish king. You know what I mean? He is beautiful. I will say, though, and Daryl Sutter puts it beautifully when I watch almost every, you know, post-game interview. I really do. It's maybe taking this a little bit too serious, but it's a team thing, right? Like, they have kept the transition game from not happening. They're not, like, other teams aren't attacking on the transition the same. Everything stays on the outside. The defense is bought into a system that's working. And you can tell it's working because there's a player like Oliver Shillington who also is flourishing. He's got points in 6 straight games. Like, they have bought into Daryl Sutter's, and I feel bad because one of our first podcasts this season, I said, oh, great, I'm never going to see this team score because we have Daryl Sutter as a head coach. We're putting up like 6 goals, 5 goals. I think they've had 2 games with like only 2 goals. Like, they have been scoring, and Johnny Gaudreau looks good, and Matthew Tkachuk, I don't think, has played better. So I'm all in for the Flames. It's been great to watch.
I don't think you should feel too bad, because I don't think you're alone. Thinking that Daryl Sutter was going to grind this team to a boring, fine powder. I spent almost 10 years in Alberta surrounded by Flames news, Flames players, Flames fans. And yeah, I was expecting the same thing. Yeah. I didn't think he'd be there the full season. I certainly didn't think he would coach a successful team there. Yeah, I thought this was the beginning of the end. I assumed he was going to be basically just pushing talents away and igniting a rebuild.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy for you. I'm happy that they're doing so well. And I think I personally agree that, you know, as much as we want to say like, oh, Markstrom's got 4 shutouts, it's all Markstrom. It is a team game. It depends on what happens in front of them. But I guess, I mean, I know a lot of Toronto fans would push back against that, because you've got to have you've got to have an elite goaltender, right? You have to have, that's what Toronto always says. You have to have an elite goaltender.
Yeah.
Toronto, I guess, finally has that elite goaltender in Jack Cup of Soup Campbell, because this guy, they're winning. They must, I can only, I mean, my best guess is that they love the pod, that they've got everything we've said about them on the poster board, and they're proving us wrong. They're on a roll. They're on a roll.
It sucks.
Worst thing ever. I'm facing half of their squad in fantasy, and I'm just getting lit the F up.
Yeah.
It was over on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's that's the segue. The Leafs are on a roll. They're doing a great job of making us eat our words.
Yeah, we're eating our words right now, but I don't know. Who's their backup? Yeah. Jack Campbell looked exhausted yesterday.
I think I'm their backup. My phone was ringing this morning.
You could be. You totally could be. Your cap would probably fit in perfectly, right? But who's their backup? Because Mrazek is hurt again. Mitch Marner's playing, you know, lights out. Auston Matthews, watch out. That guy's heating up, you know. That puck's starting to fire off that twig really quickly. They're humming along, and I have them, like, we're going to go over our power rankings. I have them pretty high. Like, I'll give them credit where credit's due, right? Like, they're playing well. I don't think this is sustainable. Also, we got to talk about, they somehow signed Morgan Rielly to a huge contract.
Yeah.
And we were talking with Dave last week. We're like, and everybody, I think it's stock. Oh, also he's dating Tessa Virtue. Like, are you kidding me? This guy's living the dream right now. I can't. So who's leaving in the offseason? Because there's no way that cap is going to work, right?
Yeah, was it? I think I saw that they had 56% of their cap in the next 4 years tied up on four or five players.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be. Well, it's Tavares, Marner, Nylander, and Auston Matthews, so five, and Rielly.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
And I mean, after this season, I gotta assume Jack Campbell's a $10 million a year goaltender.
yeah, he is. He's playing lights out. I really do like Jack Campbell, and I think he's making his way onto, Team USA Olympic roster. He's probably gonna push it pretty well. I remember we played in World Juniors. He was really good. Like, still Connor Hellebuck's team, but I think Jack Campbell's moving his way up there. I still love that Frederik Andersen is straight out playing, other than last night against Florida, is straight out playing amazing.
Yeah, of course he is. I don't mean to be an asshole, but of course he is. He's been one of the best goaltenders in the NHL for a number of years. Like that, and that's been, you know, the BME being facetious earlier is that the idea, the audacity that Toronto had suggests that Frederik Andersen was remotely the problem.
Yeah.
Goaltending is a team game. It really is. You can't just stick the best goalie of all time behind a terrible team and expect them to pull you through. Like, you need some kind of chemistry, some kind of, and you know, maybe it comes down to the fact that Freddie Andersen didn't gel with the style of defense, and that maybe Jack Campbell does. And that's fine. That's fine to say that stylistically, the way he plays net doesn't mesh with the way we want to play hockey. You can recognize that. But to suggest that he wasn't a good enough goaltender is what always pissed me off, always got under my skin. It's like, that's crazy. Arthur's Urbe helped the Hurricanes make it to the finals, and you're trying to tell me that Freddie Anderson's not good enough.
Yeah, it's that's the scapegoat, right? Where fans, and I'm sure they had a role in it as well, where a scapegoat just gets all the blame. Phil Kessel got it a lot of the time in Toronto. Do you remember that? For how many?
Poor Phil Kessel.
It was Phil Kessel's fault, and he goes to Pittsburgh and helps out. Now, he wasn't the number one star, but he was still really good. Still won, what, three cups? He's got I think it's three. Or is it two?
I think it's two or one. Two or one, yeah.
Yeah. He's got an Ironman streak. You know, sometimes Toronto is just a little too into hockey and they're just a little too easy to pass the blame on a certain player. And then once it sticks, you're never leaving that, right? It's starting to happen to Mitch Marner, who's playing balls out right now. So good on Toronto. I'm happy for him. Not really, but I'm happy.
I want to say I really, 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 really do want Mrazek to come back and be healthy. I want that so bad for him. I hate to see. It's hard not to make light of the Flames, or sorry, the Flames. Well, it is, but the Leafs in this situation for signing a goaltender like that, who, from the outside perspective, does have this chronic injury concern, and especially from a big organization that clearly has the ability to properly research and invest in these things. And then the guy comes on your team and right away is injured, and now he's out again, and it is an extension of, like, this is the same injury he was dealing with. And so for them to not place him in bubble wrap and, like, just get him 100% and figure out, like, hey, you've got a chronic groin injury. This is what you need to do to make this better. We want you here to help us win. Like, I want him to at least have an opportunity to fail or succeed on his merits and not become this complete joke that it really is becoming a punchline.
So I'm sure, you know, you spend $3 million on a goalie for 3 years, right? Which is great. I'm pretty sure that's what the contract is, something similar to that. I don't have it right in front of me, but I'm sure they're taking all the precautions necessary to get this guy to play. He's played one game, right? Like, he couldn't finish the first game. He's played one other game. He looked really good. Pretty sure, yeah, they won. But this guy just has lingering injuries. Like you said, he was in Carolina, it was in Detroit, and now it's in Toronto. I don't know what to do. I think the guy, when he's healthy, he is really good. He's a really good goalie. Like, he's probably an average goalie in the NHL, right? I don't know how you take precautions when the guy, like, you look at his track record and you're like, dude, you're hurt a lot, like a lot. So maybe they know something we don't, and they're trying things that we don't know. And I'm sure they are, because he is going to be a big part of that team, because you can't have Jack Campbell play all 82 games. You know what I mean? And he looked exhausted last night. I'm just saying, after the Boston game, he looked exhausted.
Yeah. Well, I've got a sneaking suspicion that Marc-Andre Fleury will be available soon. So we'll see.
That'd be hot.
last little thing I want to touch on before we dive into other things is, I'm definitely going to edit out this weird pause where my brain just took a walk. The younger Tkachuk,
Brady.
Captain Tkachuk.
Yep.
Do you think that's going to put a fire in Matthew at all? Do you think he cares? And what I'm saying, I should have let off that better. He is the captain of the Ottawa Senators. We talked about this on the podcast previously. I think we all suspected it. It was like a very open secret that once he was signed, and if that relationship wasn't ruined, he'd be the next captain. So he's there now. He's captain of that team. I think this, I saw them say it was the first captain they've had since 2018. So that's awesome. That's great for him. I think that's a great step for that franchise to take, to give the reins to the young guy who's full of passion and talent, and let him help guide the team to, you know, fingers crossed for them, you know, a reemergence in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. 10th franchise, 10th captain in franchise history. It was bound to happen once that long-term contract was, you know, signed. You know, they just needed to know that he was going to stay. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't doing a bridge deal that was going to walk into UFA. And right when that was signed, you knew, like, there was a tweet right after that he, you know, put pen to paper. That's the next captain of the Ottawa Senators. And it makes sense. Like, that guy is what you want in a hockey player. He brings everything. Does he score a lot of goals? No. Does he have a lot of assists? No. But he brings every hits, penalties, like everything. He brings all of it. He is a great player. And you brought up Matthew Tkachuk. Hey, I'm over here banging my drum that Matthew Tkachuk should be the captain of the Calgary Flames. easily. But again, like I was reading tweets earlier this week, his name is in a lot of rumors. And it's not just, you know, this Jack Eichel one. It's like, hey, he wants to go to the Blues, or hey, he wants to do this, or maybe Calgary's trying to move him that way, which they've always denied, right? Like last year when Pierre-Luc Dubois was on the table, Columbus asked for Tkachuk and instantly hung up the phone. Like, that's not going to happen. I think Matthew Tkachuk will be the captain of the Calgary Flames. The guy's got to sign a long-term deal, right? You're not going to give him a C for just this year. You know what I mean? And then you sign qualifying year and you get it for next year and he leaves UFA. So he'll be captain if he signs easily. He brings everything to the Flames and he's starting to become that player like he was a few years back.
Yeah. I think that the Tkachuks, to lump them all in, have spoken pretty openly in the last year, particularly with these contract negotiations being in the news, pretty openly about, getting what they feel they deserve. And being very outspoken about that in a, I would say a respectful enough way, but in the, like, they're treating it as a business. Yeah. You know, you can see that they're passionate about hockey, but they're not going to allow that to cloud their judgment or their value. I think that that is very admirable. And I like to see more of that with, you know, athletes in general, for the most part. Yeah. I think that would really help move the culture into a place where it feels a lot less like, you know, these guys need to be treated, you know, like they're worthless or like they're interchangeable, you know.
That makes sense. And you know what I like about it is they've been around the game, right, their whole life.
Yeah.
Keith was traded multiple times, just played for a lot of teams. They know, hey, if you want me to play on your team, I'm going to get what I want. And that's how it should be. You know, yep. When you're that good of a player, because the organization is going to treat you the way they think that they should treat you. So you should treat yourself, take care of your bread, take care of your life, take care of, you know, your contract, and you deserve it. That's what you worked for. You know what I mean? I don't like take a home team discount and all that. Sure, go ahead. But you know what? In 3 years, that team can still trade you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you now have lost money and you're not staying in the place you thought you were going to stay for 8 years, you know? So, yeah, Tkachuk is going to get north of nine. He is. His qualifying offer is $9 million. So it's just going to happen, which I'm okay with.
Yeah. I no disrespect to guys like, Nate McKinnon is definitely one of the most prominent ones right now.
That's going to change in 2 years?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Like he's on a team friendly deal. Having said that, he's still making like $6-7 million. So, you know, the argument can be made that maybe, especially if you are relatively confident, you know, which he seems to be, he seems to be somebody that's very focused on the work and less focused on that, you know, that sort of thing. And I think once you get into that type of money, then I understand, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but if somebody says like, hey, I know I could get 10, but I like it here. I want these other guys to have money. I want this team to, there's no disrespect. If you make that conscious decision that that's what you want, then more power to you. Do whatever you want. I think that's what it really comes down to, is players making those choices for themselves and not being shamed into it by the fan base or the team, or not being labeled as some kind of villain for saying, no, I'm worth this much. There are, you know, a dozen other teams that agree with me. If you don't, that's fine, but I'll go to those teams.
Well, wouldn't you consider that the same with Petrangelo's situation when he left? That's a player the Blues probably didn't want to lose, but he was like, okay, it's time for me to go get my bread and, you know, make sure I'm locked up and all that. And the Blues had a spot that they wanted to go, and Vegas realized that and they jumped in and got him, right? So I get it. There's sometimes players that want to get home team discount, which so supposedly John Tavares did, which I don't believe. And then you have the opposite, which is Mitch Marner, who's overpaid. You know what I mean? Like, so on that team, you have two different players. So I don't know. You're gonna pick what you want. Matthew Tkachuk's not gonna take a dime less. He knows what he wants. He knows what he needs. And you know what? Here's the other thing. Okay, take a team friendly deal, and then you have a general manager who doesn't make the moves to make your team get better. You know what I mean? So you free up this cap space. Well, some other player is gonna get it. You know what I mean? What you just gave up, and that might not be the way you want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that touches on it too. It also depends on the relationship. Like if, as a player, if you've got a great relationship with the management of that team and there's a level of trust there, then you can say, yeah, you know what? Shave 1.5 off of my deal because I want to win a cup, because I want these other guys to get retained. That's a different environment versus just, you know, if you don't have that same relationship, if they're just trying to squeeze you and then you take that deal and then they turn around and they trade that guy that you thought you were saving money for, or, you know, they don't make those deadline moves or those free agency moves to make your team better because of different reasons. Like that's where those team friendly deals really blow up in the players' faces and it becomes ridiculous. And yeah, it's so easy. So many of these guys, it's so easy for them to suffer any kind of an injury, any kind of a freak accident, or even like, you know, a groin tear that never heals properly. And your earning power just drops off.
Yeah. And
a lot of these guys, you don't get to be that good at one thing without sacrificing your time on every other thing in your life. So, you know, if you're suddenly out of hockey at 28 and you take those team friendly deals and you thought you were going to be getting a paycheck in hockey till you were 40, yeah, you may not have a lot of other ways to make money outside of maybe shilling for, you know, the local car dealership.
Look at Sean Monahan. So that guy, it was Barkov, MacKinnon, and Sean Monahan. At that time, Monahan had the most points in the draft class. MacKinnon was second, and Barkov was still coming, right? Two of them haven't had the same injury problems as the other one. I'm not saying Monahan is in that class, but Barkov just got paid, right? Huge payday. MacKinnon actually's contract's up this year, I'm pretty sure. He's going to get a huge payday. And Sean Monahan has battled through injuries after injuries after injuries and surgeries after surgeries. He's not going to even make nowhere close to $6 million after next year. You know what I mean? So get your bread when you can, because you only get to do this one time, right? And if you stay healthy, you're going to keep making money. If you don't, well, you're out. That's just how it goes. And that's how the team sees it too.
Heck yeah. Yeah, no, pretty much every organization will drop you the moment you sneeze the wrong way. So yeah, do what you can, take care of yourself, you know, take care of your family.
Yeah.
Let's pause for a quick break.
Okay.
Grab some water, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk our top 15 power rankings. Things are going to get heated. Things are going to get real hot around here.
All right.
Welcome back, everybody. Today we are going to discuss our power rankings, top 15, to be more specific. I think if you get outside of that, it doesn't matter. It's a big cesspool. They're not worth acknowledging at this point. So, So Ty and I, we came up with our top 15 separately. We shared them with one another before the podcast. We didn't look at each other's before we made our choices. We ended up with the lists are pretty similar, hey Ty?
Yeah, our top six, we have the same top six, a little different order, and then the difference comes in the bottom. I also read up on a whole bunch. I've watched quite a few games this year. I looked at the Athletics, and I think mine is more like how I'll explain it is like, yeah, the Athletics still has Colorado in the top 15. I do not have Colorado in the top 15. I don't think they've been a top 15 team this year. They had Vegas. I don't have Vegas in my top 15. They still have a lot of the big names in there where I'm more, my power rankings are, okay, this is the power rankings for this far into the season. This is how I see it, right? Not for what they can be, for what they have been. Right. Like last week when I made the little power rankings, when we were going to do a pod, I was going to bring it up. I had Buffalo and San Jose relatively high, right? Just because they were playing well, but you know, it's changed. And then I think only San Jose is on my list this time in towards the bottom. But so my difference is everybody's going to be, oh, how do you not have Colorado on there? How do you not have Vegas on there? They have not played that well. Like Vegas is one of the worst defensive teams this season, and they finally got their first power play goal last game. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think my strategy for this was I looked at the current rankings, the points, the winning percentage, and then I looked at their goal differential, and I just made snap judgments based on things that I've seen on headlines. I did very, very little research. And I think I did it all in 5 or 10 minutes. I'm still very happy and content with what I had because I drew a couple conclusions. Sorry, tripped over that one pretty bad. First of all, looking at the top six, I looked at like the top six rankings, like by points, by winning percentage. And as it turns out, with what you have as well. And I think for the most part, there's a couple of things in there that are true, that Florida is more or less the best team in the NHL right now. I mean, you can argue that you like what other teams are doing, but I mean, the numbers are there right now.
They just spanked the Carolina Hurricanes, who were also undefeated.
Yeah.
And they didn't have Barkov, Bennett, like they were Bobrovsky. They were still super depleted, spanked them.
Yeah. So that's like Florida's on the top. Our top, as we said, our top six are basically the same with a couple of guys shuffled around. And I think that in that top six, outside of that top spot, I think 2 through 5 are pretty interchangeable.
Yeah.
For the most part. And as you know, it's, as I said, it matches basically the rankings that you're going to see in there. So we've got Florida, Edmonton, St. Louis, Carolina, Toronto, Calgary. That's my order. I know that's not quite yours. It's not the way that they're ranked there, but there's the truth. Those are the teams that are flying right now.
Yeah.
Those are the teams that are looking really good that, you know, they're not, you know, it's still early. We're like 10, 12 games in, but yeah. Those are the teams that look like they're going to be dangerous this year and that they have some hope of sustaining it.
Yeah.
I think once you get outside of that, I've started to find like 7 through almost to 20. I think that's where things get a little bit jumbled. You know, you start looking at like where the teams are ranked right now based on their point, their winning percentage. Mm-hmm. That's when things get a little bit confusing because you see like, you know, teams like Buffalo and San Jose doing relatively well, while teams like Colorado and Vegas maybe not doing as highly as, you know, like the projections preseason were, and maybe the Athletic is still looking at them. So to your point, the same, I thought our power rankings are based on today. Not how we think the season's going. This isn't season-long power rankings, which is why I don't think either of us has Vegas or Colorado in our top 15.
That will change, right? Like, they're going to make it back in there. They're a top 10 team, right? Vegas is super hurt, and Colorado's been kind of weird with the McKinnon COVID. Then all of a sudden, Mikko Rantanen was injured for 3 games. And then I don't think Kemper's played as well as everybody thought he would. Yeah. So they're coming, right? So they have their stuff they're working on. But I agree with you. Like, those teams are going to make it back in there. I'll just ring off my top six, which is same as yours almost. I have Florida, then Edmonton, who we just saw the goal of the year last couple of days ago, Carolina, Calgary, the Blues, who I think are highly underrated, and the Maple Leafs, which I hate to say.
Yeah, I think that for all of our Leafs fans, let's say our Leafs listeners, they may not be fans of us the way we talk about them. Please understand that we've just included them in our top six. I've got them at number 5. Ty's got them at number 6. So please send all of your hate mail directly to Ty. Make sure you give me props. I love you guys. I think this is it. Things get a little bit more jumbled after that. And I think that is perfectly highlighted by our number 7 picks.
Right.
So as I said, I did very little research. I looked at a few things. And one of the biggest things being where they are right now and their goal differential. So I put Philly in at number 7.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing. I think preseason, we might've talked about this, and I don't know if we've recorded it, but I thought that Philly has a great chance to make some noise this year. I like their team. I like what they're doing. And for me, one of the things that got me is when I saw that they've got the +7 goal differential. So, like, you know, it's not lights out, but it's good. There's a lot of teams that aren't even scoring that great of a rate or aren't defending that well. You at number 7 have the Lightning.
Yeah.
Let me just pull up their goal differential. That's a big old 0. Now.
Yeah. So to be fair, I'm going to be honest here. I did have the Flyers at 9, and then I went and I kept looking, and I was like, I think I like this team here more and this team here. I think 7 through 11, 12 maybe, where I have Philly, those are all like teams you could like easily go boop, boop, like just switch, you know, like yeah. Any one of them can be any spot there. I think Tampa, yeah, has not lived up to their expectations. They've also lost Kucherov. Sergachev had a weird play on Mitch Marner the other day where they really didn't want him to score, right?
They're yeah.
helping him. So they're falling, right? Like, I just think, yeah, I love their coach, and I haven't been upset with the way they've played this season. And I think they're right there. Like, you can mix any of those teams 7 to 12. And that's just why I put Tampa there. I think they're still a way better team than Philly, like way better, even though Philly's done played well. They did not bat on their like little road trip or so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, I've got Philly at 7. You've got them at 12. You've got the Lightning at 7. I've got the Lightning at 14. Mm-hmm. I originally was going to put them at 15 because I felt weird not having them at all. They're not doing terrible.
Not bad.
But they're just,
like, yeah.
But yeah. And it understandable that they may be, you know, a little tired. They've played a lot of hockey the last couple of years, a lot more than everybody else. So yeah. I think it's totally understandable. I didn't think that it'd be fair to leave them outside the top 15. I thought that would be a little bit cheesy. Like,
you could say this is the most average the Tampa Bay Lightning have been.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. They're not getting killed. They've lost some games. They played poorly against some teams that they should have been able to beat easily, but they're still doing relatively well. But yeah, I put them down at 14 because I couldn't drop them off all the way. That would be ridiculous. But I just think they're not playing quite as well. And we both touched on it. It's a kind of a jumble. Yeah, I don't know. I think through that, we had the Caps. Both had the Caps at 8.
Yep.
Everybody, without talking about rankings, we both had Winnipeg in the top 15. Islanders, Rangers, the Wild. We both had Columbus in the top 15.
I just want to touch on the Rangers really quickly.
Yeah.
I picked them to win the division, start of the year, and they still have a great record. But man, Lafreniere playing on the fourth line, Kaapo Kakko, I think like the only thing holding them in together is like their goaltending. And yeah, they didn't have a great night last night, and they didn't have a great night against Edmonton. But Edmonton's going to score 4 goals a game, 5 goals a game, no matter what goalie's in that.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I really believe that that's the reason. Like, I don't think they really know what their identity is. I think trying to trade Booch for, you know, to get tougher hasn't worked, even though Sammy Blais is very enjoyable to watch. Like, that guy plays, he's faster than I thought. I've watched him twice in the last, I don't know, couple days here. And yeah, so they're falling quick. And I think they got to figure out what they are. And yeah. I think Gallant is working on that.
Well, I think the Rangers, for me right now, the Rangers are who I thought they were. They are built like the way you build your team when you're creating a video game team, where you just find a bunch of talented players. And because, you know, you're controlling them, so they're going to work. You're going to do fine. Yeah. They don't actually need chemistry or intelligence or anything like that. Yeah. And I think they're built, not saying they aren't intelligent, but they're not built like a good team. They're just a bunch of talented guys. And I think that maybe they could become that, but then the coaching needs to improve, and they need to bring these guys together. I don't think they have the same kind of buy-in and unity and team play that you see from the teams above them for the most part.
And that takes a while. They're like the youngest team in the NHL, right? They're very young. So
Panarin's like 30.
Well, they got Panarin and Zibs, right?
They're not old, but by professional athlete hockey standards.
Yeah. But then you think about their goalie he's what, under 25?
Yeah.
Their defensive core is all babies. Adam Fox is what, 20 or 22? Miller is under 23. Lindgren is under 23. Like, that's a young D core. And then you got Kakko, Lafreniere, Cheadle. Like, that's a young team, right? Yeah. So now you need these players like Panarin, Zibs, and Ryan Reeves and Trouba, who is way overpaid. I can't believe that man makes $8 million to play defense in the NHL. Like at all. I've watched him now. I watched him twice against Calgary, once against Edmonton, and there was one other game I watched, and I can't believe he gets paid that much money. But, yeah, so I don't know what they are, and they don't know what they are. And you know what? I regret that pick. So I made some terrible picks, I guess, because I picked Boston to win it too, and now I look like a complete idiot.
Well, hey, we both had Vegas doing well, and sure, its injuries are what they are, but
yeah, there's been injuries on that one, yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, a lot of my picks are doing pretty well, but hey, that's all right.
Yeah. My Blues pick is?
Yeah.
I picked the Blues.
I think you picked Colorado, didn't you?
Did I? Or no, that was my last hot take. Sorry.
Yeah.
When we did with Dave, I said the Blues are going to win their division. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, there's lots of room on the bandwagon. You're more than welcome.
I don't want to jump on yet. I don't want to jump.
We're not here to gatekeep. I just, you know, I don't want to change history to suit the new narrative, you know?
blue jerseys are nice, though.
The only team, there's actually, we only had one team difference in our overall, like basically 14 out of 15 teams, we had the same teams. Yeah. There was one team that was different. I snuck the Pittsburgh Penguins in there at number 15, and they haven't been doing that well per se. Their goal differential isn't really great, so it's not like I saw that and got excited, but they've been doing a lot with a little.
Yeah.
And so that makes me think, especially when I say like there's 10 through 20, 7 through 25 almost is probably pretty interchangeable on any given day. I gotta figure when Pittsburgh gets, you know, Crosby back, when everyone's healthy and playing again, man, they might have a really good year.
Yeah.
They take what they have so far, which seems to be a lot of young guys stepping up, a lot of guys pulling together, and Jeff Carter having a complete resurgence of his career. If they can keep that rolling while bringing back their top end talent, they could dial it back. They could have that one last hurrah that originally I thought Chicago was going to. So
that team is bought in, right? Like if you think about it, you don't have Crosby, you've had him for one game and then he gets COVID. And then you still don't have Malkin. Letang's been out with COVID. Gensel's been out with COVID. Like that team has like switched around a lot. I wanted to put them in there. Again, they've kind of, you know, fell off a little bit. And I still think San Jose is still really good for what they are. They just sent Eklund back to his other team over in Europe. So that was their big prospect. And that was the right thing to do. But I agree with you. Like you could easily slip them in there. But I think San Jose is playing a little bit better hockey. And I also, I was torn between Columbus and Pittsburgh. And I've loved what Columbus is doing, even though they just lost Line A for, what was it? It's quite a while.
4-6.
Four to six. Yeah. I thought it was six. So that kind of sucks for them. But that Cylinder kid that they drafted, he is a stud. So
yeah,
it's going to be good. We're going to post these rankings up on our Twitter too. So then we'll probably try to do it once a week, even if we don't talk about it on the pod, or once every 2 weeks. And then we'll, you know, see who's smarter.
We'll let the people decide.
Yeah.
Oh man. Hey there, little listeners. Matty here. Try that again. Hey there, little listeners. Matty here. This week's episode is, in fact, a bit. Hey there, little listeners. Matty here. This week's episode is a unique one. It is the second half of the previous episode, which we cut up due to length and subject matter. This episode is the one where in this episode, Ty and I talk about Kyle Beach. Mostly our feelings about it. We're not going to dive too much into fact or timeline, I guess. Today's episode is about Kyle Beach, as well.
Ty and I, our feelings towards hockey right now. It was a difficult episode to record. It was a difficult episode to listen back to and edit. I left it mostly untouched because, I don't know, I think it deserves to be heard as it was said. I'm going to do some shout-outs. Please check some show notes for I'm going to have some links and websites in the show notes. Some shout-outs to people that I think are more qualified to talk on this, as well as people more integral in the process of the whole scenario. For anybody that wants to hear more or wants to hear people who are more well-qualified to talk. For anybody that wants to know more, who wants to continue to follow the subject, I'm going to have some links and some remarks in the show notes that you can follow, that you can search. Hey there, loyal listeners. Maddie here. Quick intro for this episode, just to give you the heads up. Trigger warning, we do talk about some sensitive subject matter, and we use some language, some adult language. Keep that in mind when listening, if you're listening with children or with people who may react. Today's episode is actually a second parter of our last episode, which we cut up for length of time and for subject matter. This episode, Ty and I discuss Kyle Beach events. We discuss our feelings about it, and our feelings towards hockey going forward and our relationship with hockey. It was a difficult episode to record. It was a difficult episode to edit, but I think it was worth doing. You ultimately will be the judge. Check the show notes afterwards for important links and information if you want to continue to follow along the story. Moving forward, we are going to, as always, endeavor to produce episodes on a more regular and predictable rate. But without further ado, here's the episode.